And it is 8:32, and we are going back to the body of the agenda and picking up where we left off with Secretary Richard Uzzell has presented his fine minutes. Richard?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Nancy sent me the email this afternoon, and I responded to her. And I'm going to be listening to see if that point of order is there. I'll put it in. I don't think it was there, but it may be. I'll put it in there. There's no problem with that. But if it isn't, I won't. Thank you, Nancy, for letting me know about that.
So we can approve the minutes, and then they can be adjusted after they've been approved.
Absolutely.
Okay. So the chair will entertain a motion to approve this block of minutes that was prepared by our secretary.
Chair, this is Nancy.
I got my count.
Yes, ma'am.
I didn't see the hands, so go ahead and take Adriana or Mama Sonia. Somebody had their hands up.
Hold on. I can't find Sister Mama Sonia. Where is she? Oh, there she is. Do you have your hand up, Sister Mama Sonia?
No.
I said what I had to say.
Adriana Sassanaves has her hand up and
Adriana,
Susan Young has her hand up.
Call in user one. Can you take your hand down, please? Okay. Adriana.
Yes. Angelica said, if you look at the minutes, the thing that I worry is that
I can't hear Adriana.
What I'm saying is nothing there. Those minutes are basically almost the same thing that the agendas. I remember looking at the PMB when I want to know what happened long time ago, you go to the minutes and the minutes is telling you something. These minutes are not saying anything. And the only thing that I worry is why, if you are so willing to vote this way, why you are not willing to put your name behind that? And I want to ask the secretary that in all his minutes from the PMB, he always put all the names in every vote. I will ask us as LSP members to ask for every vote, put our names in the minutes.
That doesn't match Robert's rules.
Adriana, the minutes are compliant. They fulfill the rules that they are required to fulfill. If you want to come back next month with a motion and submit it, and while we're talking about that, I would remind everyone that the suggestions for agenda items will be taken for next month's meeting beginning tonight at the end of this meeting and ending 48 hours before the next meeting. So you have plenty of time to submit agenda items to be on next month's agenda. I want to be really clear that that is a very open process and everybody is welcome to submit agenda items. Okay, Nancy, do you have...
No, I'm next, Madam Chair.
Madam Chair, I'm next.
Susan is next. And I wanted to remind you that I had already moved approval of these minutes.
Thank you.
I'm not sure who seconded, but then it was subsequent to that that Nancy brought up objections, and so did Adriana. So I believe the motion is on the floor.
Are there any objections to approving the minutes as submitted?
Yes, Madam Chair. Adriana.
Okay, and I'm guessing that this is an up. Nancy, do you have your hand up?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, is it my turn? Okay.
Go ahead.
I have a motion in the chat, and I have a request to the secretary. He sent how many? Three? May, June, July minutes. And I just saw the July one, and I started checking and listening to the audio, and I tried to find where I said point of order so I could send him the exact time, minutes, and seconds. And then I realized he sent May and June. as well. So I'm just asking a question. Please send minutes a little bit earlier than like 4:47 today. I mean, so I can have time to see them and read them and not hold them like that and give us 3 months all at once.
I hear you.
Orders of the day.
I hear you, Nancy. Orders of the day. I hear you, Nancy. I was catching up and I worked right up to the meeting.
I know it's hard to do. I'm just asking, please, in the future.
Sure, I got you. I'll get them out soon.
And Chair, I did put a motion in. You know, Susan, would you not, I have the floor now. Could you be quiet? I put a motion in the chat. Move that the KPFD LSB minutes henceforth shall have the voting record with the LSB members and how each voted for transparency and responsibility of the KPFD LSB to the KPFD membership and to the Pacifica membership, submitted 8:08 p.m. August
Thank
today.
Thank you, Nancy. We are voting to approve the minutes. And I had a question, Teresa had a question as to whether the minutes could be approved as a group since Richard was sick. Richard didn't want to tell you that.
Yes, they can be approved by, together.
They can be approved as a group because Richard wouldn't have put it on the agenda that way if it wasn't legal. So we have a motion on the floor and we are voting to accept the minutes that were submitted.
Teresa Allen.
I'm going to abstain.
Abstain. David Burton.
Approve.
Yeah, it's a yes. Okay.
Yes.
Lillian Kerr.
Approve.
Thank you. Casaneva. Adriana.
I keep saying no.
No, okay.
Thank you.
Didn't hear you. Gardner?
No.
No, okay. James?
Yes.
Yes. Lewis?
Yes.
Yes. Martinez? Let me get sure we got here. McPherson?
Approve, yes.
Yes, thank you. Sabara Naratomi?
No. Nancy, no.
Okay, no. I'll come back to you, Jane. Is that good? Deb Shafto?
Approve, yes.
Thank you. Sonia, Mama Sonia?
No.
No, okay. Bill Stone, I don't think you're there. Richard Uzel, yes. Sandy Weinman.
Stain.
Stain. Ted Weifel.
Got to unmute Ted.
Ted, you want to vote on this?
No, I don't.
Okay. Venetia Williams.
Yes.
Yes, thank you. Egberto Willis, did you get here? Nope. Susan Young?
Yes.
Okay, did anybody pass that I gotta come back to?
Jane. No.
Who did? Yes. Oh, Jane. Yeah, here you go, Jane. What do you think, Jane?
I'm voting yes.
Yes, okay. All right.
All right. The minutes.
Let me count them up a minute.
Count them up. Rita and Weep.
I have 10-4. That means that it passed.
Okay, the minutes are approved. We now have 5 minutes for staff recognition, and I would also further recognize that we are about a half an hour behind our timeline, So let's be as concise as we can be while still being truthful and fair. Staff recognitions.
Madam Chair.
Susan.
I would like to just say so many thank yous to Robin Lewis, who is doing six things at a time. She is the backbone for Fund Drive supporting the programmers. She is working on the capital campaign, on a grand opening. She handles the communications. She is an extraordinary person. We're so fortunate to have her. And she's only part-time, but I imagine she works well beyond what the time is that's on her contract, where we all need to treasure her.
Mm-hmm. Nancy, I'm set.
Go ahead, Nancy.
Yes. I would like to congratulate. This is some right after the Uvalde shooting. The very next day, Wally interviewed retired Colonel Ann Wright, and it was an excellent show, excellent person to ask, and a powerful speaker she is. And she said the focus of this election this year should be gun control, gun reform control, abortion, and I forgot what else. What else? I think she said it was gun control should be the focus of this election. Anyway, I thought it was really great that Wally chose her and did it the very next day. And then the next day, Progressive Forum was on. Yes, and I want to say about Akua Holtz. Now, she's one of the network collective that does the COVID Race and Democracy Show, which is Tuesday morning right after Democracy Now! And it's just a wonderful show. It's a collective. It's got people from all over. Wonderful things are being, important things that are not even being covered by Democracy Now!, how the AFL-CIO, part of them, are funding really bad things in foreign countries to upset their, infrastructure. Things like that you don't hear. I don't even hear it on Democracy Now! Anyway, it's a wonderful show. So, I would like to say kudos to, Kua, I'm glad that we have her in there representing our station. And I had one other thing. Oh, yeah. Finally, we have some video on our website. And it's Wally interviewing Beto O'Rourke in Galveston when he came to speak. I listened to the show on the air, and Beto sounded better than when I saw him in the video, because he was like just glancing at Wally every once in a while, but mostly he was looking someplace else, and it was a video, so Beto didn't look too good, but Wally was right, you know, had focused right on Beto's face the whole time. It was very, very serious. Anyway, I'm so glad we finally got a video programming on our website, so we can be happy. We've got one step, one foot into the multimedia format. Hooray.
Is it shareable? Is it shareable?
Yeah, you just go to the website, kpfd.org.
And we can share it across our personal media platforms.
Oh, I don't know if you share it. You can click the little circle in the middle and you can.
I want to make it shareable. That's what
I think we all need to do. Click on the link and then share the link. Click on the link, okay. Copy and paste, and then share the link. And if that doesn't work, let me know.
Okay,
Because this is Tech Granny here.
This is Richard. I have a recognition.
Go, Richard.
I'd like to recognize Wally, too. I just happened onto that interview, and I was really amazed at how Wally was just, he was speaking from no notes, and he was just boom, 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 talking and straight at him. And of course, Beto was being wonderful, and it was great. It was great. Thank you, Wally.
Okay.
Yeah, this is Sister Mama Sonia. I have a recognition.
Yes, ma'am.
Akua Allen with a hand out, Madam Chair.
What?
Teresa Allen have her hand up too.
Thank you.
And Sister Mama Sonia, both.
Yes, I had my hand up also. I just want to recognize Akua Holt. We had said it before about her programming that she has, part of the national, her national programming. And I received another, someone else who had seen her Juneteenth 2022 program, which was absolutely fabulous. Someone else, and I forgot to tell you, Akua, someone would send it out who said they heard it, and they were just so proud of her to have it coming out of Houston. So, Akua, continue doing your awesome programming. You're doing programming that no one else seems to be doing here, particularly for KPFT, and thank you for it. I say Asante Sana, Madase Papa. Thank you very much.
Okay, Sister Mama Sonia, can you take your hand down, please, because it confuses me. Teresa.
Okay, I just finished speaking. Give me a minute.
Okay, thank you.
I want to thank our new IGM for immediately setting up several training sessions with our staff and communicating with them, because I think for a lot of them, if you don't communicate with them, they feel like they're second class or something, or they're being treated as second class. And I think especially they need the training, and they want that. They want to improve. And that's just really a very good start. I want to thank our development director, Robin, and the IGM and Susan Darrow for developing, I don't know the name of the product, but we have the means to find out who has given in the last hour. So at the top of the hour, using our engineer, Howard, they're announcing the people who have given money. And I think people want to hear immediate recognition that, yes, we got their money. I want to thank Nancy McAfee for doing 1 hour of live music in place of the KPFT playlist, because really KPFT playlist is not a real person. And having a real voice there that acknowledges things that are happening in the community and knows people and they know her, I think that really makes a difference. And I was very pleased to actually send out texts today, because I knew that she was doing it at 1 o'clock, and I could also send out a text mentioning that Dwayne Bradley was interviewing Lynn Ashby, a columnist today, which was very, very cool. And I also want to thank those people who've done improvements to the website. It's much easier to get around. Still needs improvement, but we're making headway. Thank you.
Thanks, Teresa. Okay, anybody else? Last call, quick. Anybody else for staff recognition?
Yeah, Nancy, one more.
Oh, Nancy, one more. Quickly.
Yes, I'd like to thank Dr. Franklin for bringing back 17 shows from HD. He put them back on the FM and bringing in 20 new shows. So we have less of this musical app, which is called KPFD Secrets, or music from KPFD playlist, which is in brown colored on the grid. Take a look at it, folks, because we have a lot of just automated music with no human voice, no song titles announced, no bands announced. And that's, we've lost lots of programmers since 2018. We are losing programmers. So we're the only station in the whole network that has this problem. So thank you to Dr. Franklin for bringing in and getting rid of all that automated music. Thank you.
Okay. IGM report. Sandy, you sent out a very detailed report. Just 1 second, please, Adriana. Yes. I see you. Hold on.
Okay, thank you.
You have 20 minutes to review that report to us. If you would just excuse me 1 second, Sandy, what is it, Adriana?
It's just a point of information, Madam Chair. I don't know where any absence excuse, because I didn't hear any absence being excused.
Did you come in late? We did discuss it at the beginning of the meeting.
For everybody else. Since
we did discuss it at the beginning of the meeting.
Okay, who were, can you tell me who were excused?
Frank Kratka, Henry Faust, Cassandra Thibodeau, and Patrick Hoyt.
We have a problem with that, because Cassandra and Patrick, neither of those, according to our standing rules, are available. Cassandra, I think that came from one meeting, And Patrick Hoek, I think that I heard him once say, at roll call, but that's all. Our standing rule said that after 3 or 4 in the year, we cannot keep excusing these people.
Thank you for bringing that up, Adriana. We will discuss that at the next meeting.
Perfect.
That we're gonna cleaning up of the list. The membership list and make sure. I'm sorry?
The manager report.
Yes.
When we receive it? When was sent?
3 or 4 days ago. Sandy, when did you send it out? It was several days ago.
Point of order.
Yes, Mac.
If the members won't keep up, then they should. We
it
all
was, it was sent out.
I'm making a point of order, ma'am. If the members will not keep up, they should. The IGM's report was distributed to the entire LSB. If a member or members are not getting it, then they should update their addresses with the LSB. I myself have had a difficulty communicating with certain members of the LSB because their addresses are inoperable, and I get returned mail because it's undeliverable. That is my point of order. Keep up.
Madam Chair, I'm sorry, but that isn't please tell the member that the point of order need to show that some rules were broken.
Point of order,
when that report was sent. If it's so difficult to tell me, then I can go and check.
I just told you. It was days ago.
When?
Days ago.
Sandy, can you answer that question?
I'm asking the chair, not you.
I'd have to find out. I mean, I sent it to you and Mac and officers and my boss and the rest of the staff here and locally.
I can't look at it right now because I will mess up my Zoom meeting, but I will email you, Adriana, with the exact date it was sent out. Thank you. Sandy, go ahead with your report.
Thank you. First, start with the current fund drive total. We have $29,481 collected. Our goal is $50,000. The first 3 days of the week, we're doing about the same performance we've seen in the past, and at this current rate, we'll probably extend the drive beyond Saturday to collect a few more dollars. In all deference to someone that said the sky wasn't falling, it's not what I'm seeing. Anyway, not to be bleak. Good things happened in the last few weeks here. First, we did hold a programmers meeting, and we talked quite a bit about the need to fund. We talked about the new studio. We had a good back and forth, a lively discussion. And I think on the balance, the morale of the programmers was very good. We had about 60 people attend between 2 different Zoom sessions. And I want to thank Rob and Lewis for participating in that and filling in the edges on things like premiums and goals, et cetera. And, of course, our allegiance link, which shows us who to thank. And someone alluded that we have a new toy. It's actually just the same automation system, and there's 3 licenses granted that we have, so there are 3 copies available. Mo has one of them, Howard has one, and now I have one. And so I started poking around, and initially when David Bay put on all that wonderful music with no DJ now, there was supposed to be a DJ, and the same type of back announcement technique that I'm using to thank people, and Susan, Darrow, and Jill, and Howard and others are thanking people at the top of the hour was always available. So we're just employing it now. We're using a tool to try to give ourselves a little more presence during Fund Drive, which I think is very important. So is this going to have any grab? I guess we'll find out. Aside from the programmer meetings, we did participate in an event at the Cottonwood Club, and we did very little except to set up a table, and I want to thank Teresa Allen for coming out. And the other volunteers, Howard Reynolds was there, and the other KPFT people. It was a very pleasant event, And for setting up a table, we were given a check of $940 by the Cottonwood Club. And they've invited us back for another event that will benefit KPFT October 22nd. They're struggling to get a name together and all that. And as we get closer, we'll be promoting it. And of course, outreach and other volunteers are invited to come along. Somebody said we have video on the website. Yes, we do. Finally. Thank you. We've been pushing to get that on. And Wally James was up there. He did a great interview with Beto O'Rourke, who looked like he had just come out of a hour-long bicycle ride in the 95-degree heat, but really was a very eloquent speaker and was a very good event, good exposure for KPFT. A little bit of a downer as we pick through the storage units, which we're getting ready to empty one of them. We have two storage units at Westheimer and Shepherd in the Oak Farms Dairy U Storage, whatever it's called, storage center, crammed full of stuff that was removed from Lovett. There is a Canon copier and there is a Pitney Bowes postage meter. We are leasing those items. We haven't used them in the 2.5 years that we've been holding them. That's costing in excess of $700 a month. Marquise and I have negotiated one price with Pitney Bowes, and I feel confident in letting go of the little bit of money that we'll save in the long run, well over $1,500. So we're going to pull the trigger on that. The Canon copier is going to cost more to get rid of, and our bank balance, which is stated a little further down in this report, is about $9,000 less than we reported last month. So if you can imagine having $30,000 and having the bank balance decrease by $9,000 a month, we have about 3 months of leeway. If we have to pick up our funding, and I hope getting back on the air live is the answer to that, along with bringing back personalities that have been proven to fund and fund well. Progress on our new studio. I'm really happy to report that this week, this was the second day today, of the studio build out. If you go to the KPFT Facebook page, we're going to be posting pictures, videos, there and hopefully up on the website ultimately. But we started, we had hammer to nail and saw and actual wood go in to start framing out the studios. This endeavor is going to take about 5 weeks. There were 6 bidders involved in total. The lowest qualified bid won the work. And there'll be a second contract let to pull Cat fiber cable, Cat 6 cable, hang wire baskets, and for the security locks. You might know them as card readers, but they're going to be key fob, same thing as a card. So you'll need a card key or fob, rather, to get into the building. Another contractor looks like they're going to pick up that scope, and we're also negotiating on a low price to get the roll gate across the driveway repaired, motorized, all this in the name of security. The general contractor that's working down at the Caroline building right now is AD Paint and Remodeling, Uber Diaz. Good experience, checked out very well, and again, had the lowest conform quote. That means that he checked all the boxes on the items that needed to be done, and supplied all the material that we were demanding within the scope in his lump sum price. The second contractor that I alluded to with the cable and security items is called C-Link. And they actually built the KHOU studios, the TV studios. They had really good experience and presented very well, but their price was not competitive with that of AD. So things are underway, which is really exciting. And if it goes right in about 5 or 6 weeks, that studio build out will be complete, will be wired, and will be operational. So I told everybody Labor Day, I was really pushing for that, but we've had a slippage or two here, namely trying to get materials that we're using, 32-inch fire crash safety doors and bulletproof glass for the studio window, which I think watching the news today is more essential than ever before. Dangerous times. Mo Thomas will be coming down to help get us on the air, plug everything in, and do his magic with all that digital technology that was bought and brought in. So he'll be down here, I think, about the last week of August, the way it looks. He tells me he needs about a week. So hopefully that's correct. And again, it's the lead times on the doors and the windows and that are going to drive this project out just a little bit. That's the way it goes these days. I think people call it supply chain. We're living it. So we'll be relocating the stuff that's in the storage unit at the Oak Farms Dairy. We're going to close out one unit, and we'll probably keep one more as we continue to sort through things. I'd really like to have this all closed out by the end of August and delete that little expense, but we'll see. We were going to try for this Saturday, but we're going for the 20th, as Malcolm Hackney, who's providing the box truck, is available then and not this Saturday. Debbie Butler and her family and the building committee that used to work at Lovett will be participating while we move things and to help get the studio cleaned up a little bit and in shape. So the building committee is back in business, and every other Saturday or so, there'll be work days at the building, and we can all mow the gravel parking lot and lawn and trim the hedges and have a good time with that. Keep it looking good. So again, now I'm saying around September 15th, first broadcast. I don't want to overpromise and underdeliver. I think that's pretty realistic that we've actually started there. We're still working on the schedule for both HD1 and HD2. And I have to emphasize to everybody that when I open my phone in the KPFT page and I push stream, it asks me which one. It's a matter of tapping one or the other. And a couple of HD2 shows during the drive have gone out, used social media, gotten themselves advertised, and gotten some dollars in. It is possible. How about that? Capital Campaign Committee, Grand Opening Committee are meeting regularly, and I have really fond hopes that the Capital Campaign Committee can deliver the bacon. They're going about this in a very professional way. Stephanie Wells knows quite a bit about this and is providing guidance. Susan Young, Robin Lewis, and all the other people participating, thank you for that. This is going to become critical to flesh out the efforts that we're doing now just to build the walls. We're getting a pretty bare bones build. So that might be the fate of community radio, but hopefully we can do a little bit better. I think we can as a group. So again, what we're targeting is $6,000 a day on fund drive during the weekdays and $10,000 a day for Saturday and Sunday. If we can do that, we can be revenue neutral. And we're not close right now. So again, going live, big deal, not a little deal. Cash on hand, as I said, $30,300, 30374, if you will. It's in the report. That was as of August 4th. I've asked Markeisha for a run out of the next 60 days of expenditures so that I can get a better understanding of money going out. We know what money comes in through Allegiance. We're also trying to court major donors, if you will. So all hands on deck. So our summer sizzle, as I said, we're more than halfway through, and we have an amount that's not halfway. We have to pick it up. So currently, again, we're sitting at $29,581. So the report when I wrote it had 22. We picked up a little bit. Hopefully things will pick up toward the end of the week, and we'll be in good position to get, if not all the way there, then very close. It's absolutely necessary to keep this going. So donate to your favorite show. Don't be shy, please. Robin Lewis attached her report as well. I'm not going to go through this. You can read the copy. Our current membership count, 2,038. Renewal rates, 31%. So, or it was in FY21 and 22, it's 32%. And the annual average gift so far this year is $178.42. Down about $3 from last year. With inflation, that's not good. So that's my report. I'll take questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Sandy. Nancy. Was that Nancy that I just heard?
Adriana
has her hand up.
Adriana has her hand up. And Nancy is on the stack as well?
Yeah, I'll put my hand up now. Thank you.
Okay, great. Thank you. Adriana, question for Sandy.
Yes, Sandy. Thank you for the report. It's really lovely that some of the members have it and some of us we don't. Next time will be nice, like it's the custom, is to send it to the entire LSP. Like Ted said, we don't need any middlemen, but that's okay. I mean, the next time will be better. I have a question. When we were talking about this property, we were assured that we will receive the estimates, because they talk about a certain amount of money that need to be put to put the place up to work. And I never received those estimates. And I want to know from you, is all this fixed? Have anything to do with that? If we are talking at the same numbers or totally different numbers, because we were told that we have estimates. I want to know how much is being spent, if it's similar to we were told at the beginning or not, and how can we know the progress? How many of the things that were in the report that were wrong are being fixed, and your estimate, and how much money is being spent compared to the original estimate. Thank you.
Thank you, Adriana. Well, that's an intelligent question. Thank you.
Point of information. Mr. Chair, I could not hear Mr. General Manager, intro. I could not hear the question. Can you repeat the question?
I mean that Teresa, I know that I have a problem in the translation with you, but obviously Sandy understood and was answering. Maybe you can hear his answer. Thank you.
Let me recap Adriana's question as I understand it. Adriana was concerned that we had estimates and we had an initial budget, and how do these estimates that we received actually line up with the money that we're spending on real contractors with real wood and real hammers and saws. Okay? Is that right, Adriana? Did I capture that?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Okay. So that's a good question. And to answer your question, when we were discussing initially a plan, it was plan one. We wound up with plan five. And Richard Giselle was invaluable in making architectural drawings. And a camel is a horse by a committee. Well, in this case, we started to wind up with a camel. And Nuri straightened us out, and we all looked at it, and we go, yeah. That's so simple. Why didn't we think of it? So at that point, we're all in agreement. That plan that we have is a very economical plan. The initial estimates we received, going back to your question, was a verbal estimate from a gentleman that was brought in to help us post-inspection determine what needed to be done. Okay, that gentleman whispered a number. But all his considerations for what we wound up with were not in that number. So we were dealing with a number in the low 20s. The actual contract that was let, and I think I can give you the accurate number to see to Uber Diaz, this AD remodeling, was for $47,700. There was a total of $137,000 left in the trust account after we paid a couple small bills for patching the roof, for a survey that was needed, and other items. So that number, 137, less a reserve for taxes to the city of Houston in December of $18,000, is what we have to deal with. That's the entire lump sum. Okay, so you can imagine. Around 119 is what we have. Right now, according to the calculations that I have on a spreadsheet using the budget that John Amella supplied, we still have around $10,000 in reserve behind all the contracts and everything we need to do to build out per the spec and get on the air. In the spec, it's two air studios. We have Wheatstone 6 digital boards. We're going to get Studio Hub switches. Wheatstone digital boxes. I'm not sure what they do. We're going to all find out together. We're getting new microphones. We're getting new CD players. We're getting new security cameras, et cetera, et cetera. When I add up this long list, the acoustical batting and everything we're doing to the building to make it safe, secure, and operational, again, we have about a $10,000 pad right now that does not consider certain items. And that's those items I've communicated to the Capital Campaign Committee as, quote, the wish list, okay? And some of it would be really wise to do in Houston. For instance, expensive item, 20-kilowatt gas-fired generator in case of a power outage, right? We're going to depend on Ethernet for security. So not necessarily the best thing, but it's what we got. So having a backup power source to run all this, like a gas-fired generator, would be great. The only barrier to that is, from what I know, that would probably be about an $18,000 bobble. So again, Capital Campaign Committee has that on their list. And that, to me, is like the best example of what we're dealing with. They've got other items that aren't so heavy. They're not so pricey. So it becomes really important as volunteers, myself included, that we go out and we accomplish what we're setting out to accomplish, to do this right and to do this well. I hope that answered your question.
Well, say Adriana, but yes, Sandy, I really appreciate it, but I wrote there that when we were told in the meeting before the deal, we were told that those estimates were in writing, because I asked specifically about that. You say now that was somebody whispering those numbers to you.
No. The estimates we're using today are a far cry from
before the deal, Sandy.
Pardon me?
We, the board, all of us have a meeting where Mo and you and some other people were telling us that the estimates were in writing, because I asked specifically that question. Is somebody whispering that, or we have it? No. It's in writing and we will send it to you. Never was sent, and now you're saying that somebody was whispering that. That was my fear then. And I see that this is exactly what is going on now. That I'm not blaming you. I'm saying this board, somebody didn't tell the truth to this board then, before approving the deal.
Okay. Let me comment. I'm still receiving estimates. We're not done yet. We're still trying to purchase certain items. So even today, some of the prices, costs are unknown. We have benchmarks from things like Amazon for physical items, so we can ping, you know, a price, and then hopefully do even better through somebody. But the whispering part was just a verbal estimate. We've gone down the road, the Uber Diaz, I keep coming back to him, he had to revise his proposal no less than 4 or 5 times. I lost count. And then I had to sit down and go line item by line item to make sure that we were communicating clearly. When he sent me, for instance, he sent me a revised estimate that was $11,000 higher than the final number, because we got into it line item by line item, and I was able to pick apart the detail, having Richard's fine drawing and having explained it to enough people to begin to understand it myself, we were able to get this price down to the bare minimum. So it's a good thing that we kept going and kept revising. Had we given you that estimate back then, it would have been really meaningless. So I'll inquire with Mo and with John. I got no problem showing you what he wrote. It's just a digital document. But let me check with those guys. It's their project. It's Pacific and National project to build the studio.
Thank you. And more information is in your written report, which will be in your mailbox when this meeting is over. I have Nancy with her hand up, and I have Ted with his hand up. And as we can be as concise as possible, I don't want to cut anybody short. So, Nancy, go.
Yes. How about the asbestos? Has it been cleaned up?
We're working in the attic. We've sealed the leak in the chimney and put the kills on everything and make sure it's okay. We had a roofer come in, a gentleman named Paul Gollum, who's known as the roofer of my, I'm getting to it, Nancy. Thank you. And we are, and part of the scope that Uber has is to wrap those pipes. It's a plastic wrap that you wrap around it.
So I understand.
And that's compliant.
So correct. I understand that the asbestos is still there. It's just going to be wrapped around.
That's the way you treat this. You wrap it and then you abandon in place is the specified process for that.
That is the least disruptive and best for the humans that are going to be in that building. That is the standard of compliance.
Why did we buy a building with asbestos? Who made that decision? You know, we have, our programmer's health is really important, and I just could not understand why we bought such a sick house.
There's no,
there's
not asbestos that was cited as possibly having asbestos in the coating on the pipe in the attic, That's what they were talking about, possibly.
No, you reported us that it was. In the attic, okay. And that the owners said not to put anything in storage in the attic. That was the report you gave us the night of.
That was because of the leak. That was because of the leak in the chimney, Nancy. That's been patched or in the roof.
Nothing is of where anybody can get near it. And that has been used in, that system has been used in schools and all kinds of public buildings since the discovery that asbestos was an issue. But thank you for bringing it up. It was a good point, but it's really been addressed. Ted, you're next.
Andy, I have four questions. The first one is, are you going to allow the board to attend your next programmer meeting? And if so, when will that be held? Second question, regarding contracts, is there an approved budget? Is there any oversight? Is it all national? Is it local? Question number three, committees. You mentioned some committees that have been established. Have they been approved by anybody, anybody? And are these committees open to new members? And my last question is there any local oversight? How is democracy manifested at KPFT? I can repeat those if you wish.
And what's the first one? I have oversight, I guess, of the process of building the studio is what you're asking, Ted.
I want to know if there's local, my fourth question was a general question about local oversight. How are decisions made? Are they all made unilaterally by you? Or is there some entity that is saying, go for it, and then you do it? Or do you just do it?
There's a lot of collaborative effort going on. No, I'm not trying to stay away from anything unilateral to answer your question. Okay, so
who is the body that is approving what you're doing?
Management.
Not any political body. Thank you. My first question was, are you going to allow programmers to attend? Your next programmer meeting.
LSB, LSB members that are programmers should attend. And most of them on this call, on this body do. So you have representation through them. This is a meeting with programmers, Ted. I don't know why you're so curious as to attend. Okay? But I don't want to fill up the room with a lot of gallery. This is a meeting for programmers, again. So my preference is no, to answer your question. That's my preference.
previously you said that you wanted to have a programmer meeting with just the programmers. Now what you have done is you have given certain members of this board entree to those meetings, but those of us who are not programmers are excluded. It's like second-class citizenship.
Well, actually, in Pacifica, in Pacifica, you have volunteer programmers that are staff, and then you have volunteers from the community like yourself on the board as well. So you're right. In our bylaws, it is noted as a different class.
But not higher or lower. Now you've created a higher and lower class. My third question was...
All programmers aren't here tonight. You know, okay, go ahead, Ted. Third question.
The contracts that are being signed between construction people and I don't know who, are they approved? Is the budget approved?
Again, let me be very clear, okay? The build-out belongs to Pacifica National. Mo Thomas, John Amella, and Otis are the three principals running this project. So every time I receive a proposal, it goes right to them. Now, they ask for my input, recommendations, but sometimes they want to go a different way, and they do, okay? We're working collaboratively as a group. So they've been approved, and Ted, the executive director, is copied, and Arthur Schwartz, who is our lawyer, whose firm has a trust account in which the money resides and must release the money per every request with backup in the case of a contractor insurance and the written contract, okay, or an invoice.
Has the Pacifica National Board approved of this arrangement?
I can't speak to that, Ted. I don't know.
My last question is, you mentioned a bunch of committees, including one that will oversee the grand reopening of KPFT. Is that committee or any others closed to the public?
Someone's present that would like to speak up on that. I'm not sure. Robin Lewis is working with groups of volunteers, Ted, and I'm so darn busy with other things that apart from some minor participation, I can't answer. I don't know. So if anybody is present that could answer that, maybe you can speak up.
Ted, your question will be noted and will be responded to. Thank you. Good question. Richard, Nancy, did you not take your hand down or do you have your hand up again?
Yes. Could you send us the report about the asbestos, certified it's safe and the report?
I will send you the link to the guidelines, to the federal and state guidelines. I will do that for you.
No, I don't need that. I want the report of the person or the company that checked it, noted it and took care of it. Or was there no company that did that? I mean, because the first report we had about this was that it was just a by sight, not really a detailed professional checking, but by visual. And that
the
was
contract,
not.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Anyway, so can you please send us a report about that? Because I'm just worried about that. That's a real big, you know, that's something you cannot see. It's like COVID, but worse. Gets in your lungs.
The contractor who made that was in the attic is certified to do asbestos remediation. And so it is compliant.
I would think so.
Yeah, so
I would think it's
they know what they're doing.
Can we see the report from this person? And
let's see if we can track that down. Thank you.
Well, I think the staff should be able to see that too. I mean, that would, because they heard, some of them heard the meeting where this was No, it wasn't. It was executive session, wasn't it? Yeah, so they may not know. They just know now.
Lillian, you're next.
Yes, I know about that, and she asked in our meeting about the asbestos. And I think that we have a report, and it's not what the report said, the original one. Remember, Teresa, that you asked about that in the first, in the meeting that we have about the deal? You asked specifically about that, too. I remember that, but that's okay.
Okay.
Lillian, you're next. Teresa, do you want to take a couple seconds to respond to that, or can we? I believe it has been addressed.
I want everybody to be comfortable. Yeah, I'm asking the IGM to please provide us with those reports, certified reports, so the professional examined it, because the first report we got was just by visual, and that's not enough.
We don't need to hear it the rest of the night.
No. I'm also assuming that if we have to have had City of Houston building permits and all that stuff and all the compliance records of public in the public domain.
Yep. That is true. Thank you, Lillian. Richard, your hand is up.
Actually, my hand was up for another reason.
Oh, I'm sorry, Lillian.
Sorry. I hear reference to a programmer's meeting. Am I a programmer? I'm not a paid programmer, but I didn't get any information or an invitation to a programmer's meeting, which is unfortunate because I would have liked to have gone. But I don't know what the definition of a programmer is.
Lillian, Robin Lewis uses something called MailChimp, which she has mailing lists for programmers. And you would not be the only one to say this and all. It's hard to tell somebody to send their email address if they're not there to hear it, right? So send your email address to Robin and make sure that you're on that, you're on that list in MailChimp when she sends these out. This is another bone in the closet that I'm finding, buried bone, like the copier and the postage machine. We've lacked a lot of fine, detailed oversight. And the result is something of the nature of what you just complained about. And I'm with you. I want you at that meeting if you're doing programming.
Yeah.
You're helping Wally. It's important. Okay? And it's a good exchange of ideas amongst all the volunteer programmers. On both Zoom calls, it was a very good environment.
Well, I'm sorry I missed that. Are we going to have another one?
Yes, we most certainly are.
Okay, that'd be great.
Have the hand out since a long time.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
Richard have his hand out. I'm sorry, I'm telling the chair that Richard have his hand out, and I don't know if the chair can see that.
I don't know. I'm sorry, I didn't get that either.
Richard,
yes, Richard.
Okay. One of the myriad of things that M is having to do for nothing, I might add, is to bring our programming back, get people once the studios are set up, get them in there so they're working, get them retrained, get their morale up, get their enthusiasm up. And the last thing I would think that they would need would be people from the LSB or somebody wandering down the street coming in and giving their opinion about what's being said. I think that it's horrible even to think that. Leave the programmers alone and let them get strong again.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
This is last call on IGM report. We're again far behind. I'd like to move on to Pacifica National Board reports. Susan, Teresa, who else have we got? Marianne's not here. Egberto is not with us. He thought he was going to be late. Teresa, Susan, who wants to go first?
I'll go.
Thank you, Teresa.
Okay. I am currently on the personnel committee. We are working on a search for a CFO. Netta has been
providing many services to us, consolidating it, and saving us a bit of money. But because money is very tight, and that money to pay them is supposed to come through central services, and see, three out of our seven units we're not paying central services. This was very problematic. And so NEDA has stated that they will not continue their contract with us. So we are looking for a CFO, and we are looking for either individuals or contractors to do payroll, to do HR, to do training and communication with staffs at several of our units. We're assuming that the CFO would be a liaison with the auditor. So that's what we're looking for. And this is a big challenge, because does anyone want to be the CFO of an organization that is millions of dollars in debt? So that's what we're working on. And I'm also on the elections committee. We have several motions before the PNB that will be addressed very soon. They have to do with a timeline for an election. And I think that's all I have to report at this time.
Thank you. Susan?
Right. Yes, absolutely.
Are there questions later? Sorry. I have a question of Teresa.
Let Susan do her report and then circle back.
Every one of our meetings begins with how long can we make payroll at different stations. Kay is now borrowing from the central office. WBAI, we're not sure if they're going to be able to make payroll through September. The archives, we're not sure how long payroll is. And as Sandy has explained, we are working on borrowed funds. So that is the lens through which we are all focusing absolutely every meeting. And that the CFO, the NEDA leaving us is an example of how much this pressure, the problems that this pressure causes. I will be happy to forward you all a newsletter that was sent out by Bertold Reimers on behalf of WBAI, in which he brings up how long they are in arrears in various payments, and that they owe $1.2 million in debt, of which approximately $1 million is owed to the central office. And it's because of that that we have been unable to make timely payments to NEDA, and they have made the decision to leave. Committees that I'm on the strategic planning committee, and there have been some blendings of conversations with the program committee. I know that the program committee, or I understand that last year it was aspirational. There were all kinds of great ideas. This year the focus is on Nielsen ratings and how we understand how to address declines in listenership at different stations. Jim Dingman is leading that charge and has assembled Nielsen ratings from everybody. Jim, who chairs the strategic planning committee, is working jointly with Heather Gray, who chairs the programming committee, to gather together brainstorming sessions that involve the several stations about things like news programming, music programming, cultural arts. Those are ongoing. And we have also, the strategic planning committee was looking at three possible new initiatives. One was some sort of a private limited bond offering and it was deemed that that was really not going to be feasible. Non-fungible tokens. Again, that was just talked about in the strategic planning committee this last time, and it was felt that we really didn't have good information about copyright situations, how the NFTs work, what the legal ramifications are. So further conversation about those is being held off. Underwriting is being given full consideration. Alex Steinberg, who was the immediate past chair, developed a whole proposal to bring to the PNB. The Strategic Planning Committee believes it needs at least one more meeting to be able to address this fully. There is currently no prohibition about underwriting. And mind you, this is ethical underwriting with a primary focus on having sponsors who are nonprofits and small businesses and cooperatives so that we can further showcase and enlist support from the broader community. There is not a prohibition. So there are different stations, including KPFT, that are looking at whether this type of program can be launched. I sent out an inquiry quite a while back to the LSB about who supports or is opposed to underwriting. Thank you, Ted. You were the only person who replied, and you gave a very thoughtful reply, and it helped me be able to feel comfortable that moving forward on this was a good idea.
Okay. There, here we are. That was the